Good morning. Welcome to Sure Foundation Baptist Church. If you find your seats. Welcome to church. Find your seats. Grab a hymnal, the blue hymnal today, page 106, hymn 106, Lead Me to Calvary. On the first, King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crown brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Show me the tomb where thou wast laid, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels in robes of white arrayed guarded thee whilst thou slept. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Let me, like Mary, through the gloom, come with a gift to thee.
forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee, even thy cup of grief to share, thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.
Amen. Brother Eli, can you open us with some prayer? Amen. The next hymn is 31. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. On the first.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. For he is thy health and salvation. O ye who hear, now to his temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord, who o'er all things so wondrously reigns. Hast thou not seen how thy desires e'er have been granted in what he ordaineth? Praise to the Lord, who with marvelous wisdom hath made thee, deck thee with health and with loving hand, guided and stayed thee. Oh, oft in grief hath not he brought thee relief, spreading his wings for to shade thee. Praise to the Lord, O let all that is in me adore him. All that hath life and breath, come now with praises before him. Let the amen sound from his people again. Gladly, for aye we adore him.
This time we'll have the announcements.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Shirt Foundation Baptist Church. That was a... Have we ever sang that song before? Oh, okay. I don't remember ever singing that song before, but I probably have. If you look at the... Who wrote that song is... his last name is Neander, and I think that the Neander Valley is named after that. That's where they found the Neanderthals, you know, the supposed missing, one of the missing links to evolution, even though that's not really true, but just interesting. I just was looking at the name of the author. Anyway, welcome to Church Foundation Baptist Church. Let's take our bulletins, look at the announcements. If you need a bulletin, just lift up your hand. One of the ushers will bring you a bulletin, hands all over the building. Yes, God bless you. See that we see the hands, the little children. Suffer the little children. All right. On the front cover, we have our verse of the week. It says, he is the rock. His word, his work is perfect, for For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Deuteronomy 32:4. Notice that all his ways are judgment. So there's nothing wrong with judging as long as you're judging righteously, right? Like the Lord does. Anyway, on our inside page there, we have our service time Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening, 3:30 p.m., and Thursday evening Bible study, 6:30 p.m. We'll be in 1 Chronicles chapter number 6 this week. And if you look at the sowing times below, we have all those different sowing times. And we had a pretty fruitful week this last week. And we have sowing today, and that is going to be at 1 o'clock. And I don't know if I haven't had a chance to even look at my WhatsApp. Do you already have the maps in there? The maps are already in the WhatsApp. You can meet on location. Just make sure you know what group you're in. Just check with Brother Conlon on that. Our praise report, you can see the salvations, baptisms, attendance from last week, and the year-to-date and all that stuff. And the upcoming events, there's nothing really in nothing really coming up very quick, but you can just look over all that. Just make sure you mark your calendars for if you're wanting to go up to the SFBC North anniversary, the 13th through the 15th. If you fly, you have to have a passport. If you don't, you still have to have your enhanced driver's license and birth certificates for your children. And then October 5th and 6th is the Family and Friends Weekend and the annual Pumpkin Patch at 11 a.m. We'll have Pastor Jimenez preaching for us on Sunday night that weekend. And all the other stuff is off in the distant future, but stuff just seems to come fast. So if you want to go to those things, just mark your calendars and make sure you book your hotels or whatever for the missions conference. And hopefully you'll be here to see Dr. Stringer preaching in December. We're family integrated. That means children and infants are welcome during the church services. Please utilize some other baby rooms for your convenience. All the other rules are listed below. Silence your cell phones, escorts to your vehicle by the ushers are available upon request. The donation information, tithes and offerings are all listed below. It's updated from last week. So that's everything that came in for the month for our church here. And then we have birthday. Miss Eiley, her birthday is going to be on the 7th. So I know she wants to come up here and stand on the pulpit in front of everybody and have everybody sing happy birthday. Do you want to do that, Eiley? Oh, she's too shy for that. I just wanted to give her the opportunity if she wanted to be the star of the show. But anyway, everybody just look at her. How old are you going to be, Eiley? 7? All right. Wow. Time flies. Well, let's sing happy birthday to Eiley. All right. Are we ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. All right, happy birthday. And that's all we have for announcements. Go ahead and sing another song. We'll receive the offering.
All right, hymn number 578, Just As I Am. I don't know if it's a positive or negative sermon today, but there's nothing wrong with getting humble before the preaching. All right. The first.
Just as I am. Thank you. whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, O wretched, thine sight riches healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Amen. This time we'll have the offering for the shine.
All right, go and open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you don't have a Bible, there should be a Bible under the seat in front of you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. First Corinthians 11, the Bible reads, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it is a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say you? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Brother Eli, will you pray for us?
Amen. All right, this morning I'm preaching on the topic of, does God care about the length of your hair? Does God care about the length of your hair? Now, everybody in here all the men at least, seem to have short hair, like the Bible teaches. And you're like, well, does God care about the length of your hair? The answer to that is yes, he does, because there's a half a chapter here in the New Testament dealing with this subject. So you're like, well, why are you preaching this, Pastor? We already know about this. Well, yeah, but we need to learn it again. Right. We need to go over these doctrines continuously. And I've kind of been preaching some summer-type sermons lately. And I preached a sermon about smoking, actually, quitting smoking in Yakima. I preached about the differences between biblical wine, what the Bible says about wine, how there's two different types of wine. There's the wine that's alcoholic that we should avoid, and there's the fresh squeezed juice that's also called wine in the Bible. It doesn't necessarily have to be just grapes. It could be pomegranates or any other kind of squeezed fruit juice. And so I wanted to continue that kind of thought, and so I'm preaching this morning about this, because a lot of times in the summertime, standards can drop. People wear less clothes, and there's a lot of drunkenness that goes on during the summertime. And, you know, women would probably want to cut their hair shorter because it's hot when their hair gets long and starts, you know, weighing them down or whatever. And guys, I don't know why they would want to grow their hair long, but generally Baptists and you know, most Christians would not go that route, but there are some that do. And so I want to preach about that this morning. And, you know, so just bear with me. And, you know, if you've already know this, well, then great. But it is good to be refreshed on why men should keep their hair short and why ladies should keep their hair long. So, well, number one this morning, I just want to, my first point is, Paul would not say to follow him if he follows Christ if him and Jesus both had long hair. I mean, that's a valid point, isn't it? Like, why would Paul, look at verse number one. It says, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now skip down to verse 14. It says, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? I mean, just nature itself tells us that men should have short hair. And in most cultures of the world, even without Christ, men keep their hair short because just of nature. Now, of course, there's the heathen nations where they will grow their hair long and so on and so forth. And then people would discover these cultures, even England, you know, these explorers would go and see the Native Americans with the long hair, and then they would grow long hair. And it was kind of like it was some status quo where these explorers would then grow their hair long. Even Charles, the King James' son, grew his hair long. And, you know, he was maligned for that, and rightly so. And also the fact that he wore an earring in his ear. I mean, people thought that was queer looking. And, you know, quite frankly, it is. So, you know, just Paul saying, hey, why don't you follow me as I follow Christ? And then, you know, later on he's saying, if a man has long hair, it's a shame. You know, why would he say, don't grow your hair long, but then follow me as I follow Christ, if they both had long hair? Now, of course, people think that Jesus had long hair. And so when I preach sermons like this, or when anybody else preaches sermons about Jesus not having long hair, people just like, oh, yeah, whatever. You know, the unbelievers, of course, they've seen all the pictures painted in the 1500s by homos at the Vatican or whatever, you know, and then they think that that's what Jesus looked like, or because they saw the Mormon Jesus on somebody's wall or something, then they think that, oh, he's white and delightsome with long blonde hair, but that's not the case. So I think it's a valid point to just say this right off the bat, that Paul would not say to follow me as I follow Christ if him and Jesus both had long hair. And number two, cutting your hair for men and growing hair long as a lady is an ordinance of the church. It is an ordinance of the church. It's an ordinance that's put place in this chapter, because what is this chapter about? It's about keeping the ordinances. Look at verse number two. It says, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. So Paul's saying, there's two different things he covers in this chapter. One of them is the cutting of the hair or growing it long. Men are supposed to cut their hair and keep it short, and ladies are supposed to grow their hair long. Not put head coverings on, all right? That's not what it's talking about. That's what unsaved people come up with. They come up with the head coverings. That's why, so all these churches where the ladies are wearing head coverings, it's that, you know, they're an unsaved person taught them that, because that's not in the Bible. If you just plainly look at it with your own two eyeballs and the Holy Spirit of God helping you, it just doesn't seem like it would even need the Holy Spirit, just because the Bible plainly says, you know, the hair is given to them for a covering. But okay, but it's an ordinance of the church nonetheless. He says to keep the ordinances. What's the other one? The Lord's Supper. He teaches us at the end of it, the Lord's Supper. And this ordinance here, you know, we only believe in you should keep two ordinances that picture the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's only two ordinances in the New Testament that we keep that picture these things. So a lot of Baptist churches will say two ordinances, but there are more than two ordinances in the New Testament. There's just only two that picture the death and resurrection of Christ. And when it comes to the Lord's Supper, it's the death and suffering of Christ. You know, the bruising of his body, the beating that he endured, and the blood that he shed for us. That's what the the supper is teaching us. Now, baptism is picturing the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and that when we get baptized, we are, you know, we're dying to ourselves and we're raising up in newness with Christ. So it's not that we're washing our sins away. Our sins are washed away the moment that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But that pictures our newness in Christ. It's a public testimony in a lot of ways. And, you know, unless there's nobody else there except for you and the, you know, and Philip or something. But, I mean, to me, even if Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch, do you think the Ethiopian eunuch was completely by himself? He was just driving himself? No. If he's reading, he's probably, you know, they probably had the same rules back then. You don't text and talk at the or drive at the same time. You know, he's reading a scroll and like driving some chariot or something. I don't believe that that's probably true. I'm sure he had multiple people with him. So anyway, that's not the point of the sermon. So what is an ordinance? Because, you know, the Bible talks about having ordinances and statutes and laws. And it's like, what's the difference? Well, an ordinance just simply means to set in order. Now, you probably heard of this is a city ordinance or you know, there's local ordinances. Those can be, you know, that's not what, you know, we're not talking about those types of ordinances. We're talking about ordinances in the Bible. So a biblical ordinance is usually a law put in place that shows a picture or a truth that's yet to come. So, or a truth that's already come, as case in point, those two ordinances that we keep that picture Christ. So there was a lot of ones that they had to keep in the Old Testament, though. All the ones, the animal sacrifices, those were ordinances in commandments. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. So the ordinances usually picture something that we're, you know, and so in the Old Testament, we had, there was all these ordinances contained in the commandments. Okay, what does that mean? Well, look at verse 15. It says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. So there was commandments that were contained in the, you know, that were contained in ordinances, for to make himself twain a new man, so making peace. But, you know, all the laws that they had to keep, the ceremonial laws, and then you had the sacrifices, all pictured Christ, right? But we don't have to keep all those ceremonial practices anymore. Christ died, he was buried, he rose from the dead. We keep that ordinance. And then every year we practice what's called the Lord's Supper, which is a remembrance of what he already did for us. They were keeping those things because he hadn't done it yet. And once he did those things, he abolished all those things. So we don't have to keep all that stuff. Now we keep them in a different way. We believe that the Passover was continued in the Lord's Supper. So the word ordinance is applied to the ceremonial feasts and observances associated with them. In other passages, we see it applied to offerings and priestly duties. So why would the hair thing be an ordinance? Well, the hair thing would be an ordinance because what is this specifically talking about? Well, look at verse 3. It says, but I would have you to know, that the head of every man is Christ. So the head of every man is Christ. What does that mean? The boss. It's not talking about your literal head, as far as the head of, you know, your physical head. It's talking about the head, like the boss who's in charge of you. The head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. So it's giving us an order of who's in charge, right? And it says, and the head of Christ is God. So God the Father, Jesus the Son, the man, then the woman. Okay, that's what the Bible says, right? And this is not a very popular teaching today, but this is what the Bible says. This is why feminists want to get rid of the patriarchy, because they don't like that someone would be in charge of them. Women don't want to have someone to rule over them. But the Bible says in you know, Genesis 3:16, that's not a very popular. Let's look at what Genesis 3:16. It's not in my notes, but let's just go over there for the sake of it. Genesis 3:16, not the most famous chapter in the Bible. But because of Eve being deceived by the serpent, I don't know whose Bible this is up here, but thank you for leaving it here. Genesis 3:16, it says, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall," what's it say there? "Rule over thee." So part of the curse is that man is the one that's the head of the household. The man is going to rule over the woman. And this is not popular today, but this is what the Bible teaches. This is why there's an attack on the nuclear family, so-called nuclear family. This is why there's an attack on men today, where men, you know, the white men for Biden or whatever, it's a dude in a dress that's leading the charge on that or whatever. Yeah, you're not a dude. First of all, you can't call yourself a white man if you're in a dress, all right? I don't know what to call you, but it's definitely not a man. So the length of hair ordinance is not an ordinance that pictures the death or the resurrection of Christ, but it does picture the order of things, the order of who is the head, right? And so the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So it does have to do with priestly duties. It does have to do with that, because we are priests unto our God. We are supposed to give living sacrifice to our God. We're supposed to serve our God like the priest in the Old Testament, but everybody that's saved is in that family. So it's not just the family of the Levites, the sons of Aaron, that served God back in the Old Testament. Of course, we just got done with Exodus and learning all about that stuff. But now it's everyone serves Christ. So wouldn't it make sense that there's some kind of standards to that? And if you're going to do things and be in this church or be in any church, there's standards. And people don't like standards. And that's why they come up with, you know, these non-denominational churches and neo-evangelical churches and all these weak churches. And they're like, well, we just come as you are. Well, you know, sometimes come as you are can be offensive to other people that are around you. And nobody wants to walk in and see a bunch of long-haired, faggoty-looking dudes and a bunch of bull dykes and, you know, a bunch of people that are half naked when they walk in. We don't want to be subjected to that. So, yes, there is standards. There's nothing wrong with having standards. At work, you know, not as much as it used to be, but at work you used to have some kind of standards. You know, at our work, the last place I worked, you weren't allowed to wear shorts at work. Well, why not? Because they didn't want you to get hurt. You know, and you're less likely to get hurt or nick your leg on something when you're wearing pants as opposed to wearing shorts. So it's just, you know, what men wear when they're working. But of course, people always get to break the rules because they're the special teacher's pet or whatever. But, you know, in Walmart, you didn't used to work there. If you had visible tattoos, piercings in your face, or dyed hair, you could not work with the customers at all. And if you had a tattoo that was visible, you had to cover it up with something, or you didn't work with the customers. You worked in the back room, you came in and worked overnights. But what do you see when you walk into Walmart now? You can't tell the difference between the people that walk in there that look weird and the people that work there. I mean, it's like you're going into Mad Max or something, right? It's crazy. It's a far cry from when I started working there. So let's look at verse number 4. The Bible says, every man praying or prophesying, that's praying to God, obviously, or preaching, whether you're preaching from the pulpit or, of course, we preach at the doors, don't we? Having his head covered dishonoreth his head. Who's our head? Christ is our head. So who are we dishonoring when we have our head covered? And look, cover your head covered. Well, can I get a lady with long hair up here real quick? Come on, somebody. Come here, Alejandra. Get over here. Can I get Gabe? Can you come up here, please? So I want you to just stand right here, and Gabe right here, right next to her. Okay. See these two people? Turn around. Is his head covered? No, it's not. I'm sorry for touching. Her head's covered though, right?
Yeah.
You can't see the back of her head, can you? Can you see her ears from the back? I mean, if she had big ears, you'd probably be able to see. But they're not sticking through or anything. You can see his ears, can't you? See the difference?
Yeah.
Covered, not covered. All right, you guys have a seat. Thank you. So that's what the Bible's talking about when it's talking about having your head covered. So if a man had his head covered like Miss Alejandra, then that would be a problem. It'd be what? Dishonoring his head. Not his head will be doing that too, but it's talking about what it just said in the previous verse. Christ. You're dishonoring Christ by praying or prophesying with long hair. That's what the Bible's saying. And so you're dishonoring your Lord and Savior by doing that. So that's why when every time Daniel Fusco gets up, he's dishonoring God. He's dishonoring the church. He's dishonoring everybody he's preaching in front of, if you can call it preaching. Where he's winking with his eyes and talking with his hands, and he's preaching a false gospel, and pretty much everybody that goes there that we've ever knocked the door of isn't even saved. I mean, there are some exceptions to that rule, but for the most part, they're not saved. He's wrong the moment he walked up to that pulpit. Amen. He's wrong the moment he took the title of pastor. And you know, all the people that go there should know this verse. They're like, what are you doing up there, fag? Why are you up there preaching to God's people when you have long hair and you're covering the back of your head? Like, oh, I can't believe you just called a pastor a fag. Well, he looks like a fag.
Amen.
He talks like a fag. He has the mannerisms of a fag. He promotes faggotry from his pulpit. He's from San Francisco. It's not real hard to figure out. You're like, that's slander. No, you know what? If it looks like a duck and walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck, isn't it? So look at verse 5. Every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered. So Gabe was uncovered, right? That means he had short hair. So this is a woman having short hair. Every woman that prayeth or prophesieth, prays or preaches. Now, women don't preach in the pulpit, but women preach at the door. With her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. Who is her head? Her head is her husband. And if she doesn't have a husband, it would be her dad. And if it wasn't, you know, and if she has neither one of those, then her next authority would be Christ. Right? Or whoever she's, you know, whoever her male authority in her life is. But you're still, if you're married, you're dishonoring your husband. So it says, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. You might as well have a bald head. That's what it's saying. And let me just caveat this real quick. All right. People will say, well, what about the people that have cancer? Bald head. If your hair's falling out from cancer, then do you think that I'm just going to be like, no, you can't, you know, pray or prophesy because you have cancer? Like, that's ridiculous, folks. You got to go with the spirit of the rule, the spirit of the law. Of course, I'm not talking about a little girl that hasn't had her hair grow in all the way or something. I mean, some of my kids were, you know, pretty bald for a long time. Emmy was bald for, like, I don't know, a long time. She it took her a while to grow in some hair, but now she's past the Joyce Meyer, you know, phase now. But you know, Karina's hair is getting pretty long now. I mean, it takes time, but they don't preach. They barely have learned how to pray, okay? So they sing along now with some of the Bible songs, but, you know, they're not quite there yet. So look at verse 6. It says, for if the woman be not covered, that means what again? Their head covered, right? Let her also be shorn. So if she's just going to cut her hair like the 55-year-old, you know, boomers from World War II or whatever, then let her head be shaved. That's what it's saying. And like, you go to Canada and the guys have the same haircut as their wives, all of them. It's weird. Like, they're, and it's here too, but it's way more common up there for whatever reason. It's like, as soon as like they turn 55, it's like, okay, off with the hair, it's gone. And then you can't really tell from behind because they're all wearing the same outfit. They're wearing the same clothes. They're wearing jeans and a t-shirt, and from behind, it's like two dudes are walking down the street. And you can't really tell which one's which. I mean, why does God care about this? Does God care what the length of your hair is? Yes, because you might be mistaken for a man if you don't grow your hair out, ladies. And men, if you grow your hair long, then you might be mistaken for a woman. And you think it doesn't happen? It does happen, especially if you're a skinny dude and your hair's all long and you can't see, and then some guy's like, ah, you know. And of course, you shouldn't be, you know, looking like that, but I mean, I'm sure there's many guys that have been like, ah, you know, like, ah, like bleach their eyes out or whatever. But let's see. So it says, where am I at here? Am I in verse 6? For if a woman be not covered, oh no. Yeah, if a woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. So he's just saying, here's your alternative. Shave your head. Don't just cut it short like a man, but shave your head. And so I would say this is probably that case. Like, some women do have, you know, some medical, legitimate medical issues. And so he's just saying, hey, well, the best thing to do is just shave your head then. And not to just keep a short haircut to look like you're in disobedience is what I'm thinking that it's trying to say here. So, but it says, but if she, it's a shame for her to be shorn or shaven. So if she can grow her hair long and it's a shame for her to shave her head, then let her be covered. Let her grow her hair long. It says, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. So why shouldn't a man cover his head? Why should he not cover his head? Because he's the image and glory of God. So what does that tell you about God? That he doesn't have long hair. And how many times did Jesus say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? So Jesus didn't have long hair. His Father doesn't have long hair either. And you're like, well, God's just like this blob that, you know, you can't, he has no form. Or the Bible says he made man in his own image. What are you talking about? He does have an image. We just can't see him. We can't see the Father or we'll die. And that way, so he made it to where we could see him in the form of Jesus Christ. But if we saw the Father, we would die instantly. But one day we'll see his face. And you know what? When we see him from behind, like Moses saw his back parts, but he didn't see a train of long hair behind him, did he? He has short hair, folks. So if the man is the image of God, we are not to have long hair. Isn't that what that verse is saying? I mean, it's not rocket science that God doesn't have long hair. So look at verse number 8. The Bible says, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves. So here's a verse where it tells us to judge, right? Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Is it something that's pleasing to the eyes? Is it something that's a good thing? Comely. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? So he's basically saying it's an ugly thing to look at a woman with short hair preaching the gospel or praying without long hair. That's what it's saying, right? Because if that's the definition we've come to, then that's what it's talking about. And then when it comes to men, it does not nature itself even teach you that if a man have a long hair, it's a shame to him. It's natural to think that. And it's just a fact of this, even the history of this country, having long hair has always been a sign of rebellion. It's always been a sign of being a heathen. It's always been a sign of, you know, in history of people being, you know, in Christian history of people being some paganistic, heathen type people. And it's not something that is actually a Christian culture at all. It's always been known as something that the heathen do. So, then it says, verse 15, but if a woman have long hair, Here's the killer to every head covering, scarf teaching. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. I mean, doesn't say to have a silk, some kind of silk thing covering. It's talking about the hair. That's what this is all about, this whole 16 verses here. Verse 16, but if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now, people will try to use this and say, well, but none of this really matters. That's what this verse is teaching. So this verse just cancels everything out. That's not what it's saying. That is not, why would he just say all this stuff and say, never mind, just kidding. He's saying we don't have the custom of anybody having long hair. We're not gonna have this contention. We have no such custom that someone would get up here with long hair, or that it's okay in certain churches for this to not happen. We don't have this custom. This is not a custom in our churches. Now, I want to read you just a little short blurb that I got from Wikipedia. I know Wikipedia has some dumb things on it sometimes, but this is interesting. It says, data estimates that 2 to 3% of U.S. men have long hair. 2 to 3%. And you know what? There's about 2 to 3% reprobates in this country, too. It might be higher than that now, since they let the queers out of the closet. But anyway, it says, and an additional 2% have borderline long hair. So I'm guessing that means, like, maybe about shoulder-length hair, what they would consider. So that's, what, 5% of all the men in the United States have long hair. That's, I mean, I would say if they're saying borderline long hair, to me that's not borderline. You've crossed the border. You've jumped the border, my friend, once you get down to shoulder length hair. But this says leaving 95 to 96% with short hair. This is in the United States. It's not real common to see a lot of men with long hair in this country. It's just not. It has also been estimated that 24% of women have long hair and 43% have medium length hair, leaving 33% with short hair. Which, you know, that's an abomination. But given that men comprise 49.2% of the U.S. population and women 50.8%, the estimated breakup of hair length by gender among Americans is 47% men with short hair and 22% women with medium hair, 17% women with short hair, 12% women with long hair, 1% men with long hair, and 1% men with medium hair. I don't know what these, you know, but the main point is, though, is that it's not common for men to have long hair. It's just not. And a lot of women have long hair. They do. So it's, and it's not all these people. Do you think 95% of people in this country are Christians? I don't think so. I don't even think 95% of people would claim to be Christians in this country. And I don't think that they keep their hair short because 1 Corinthians chapter 11 tells them to keep their hair short. I think nature tells them to keep their hair short. So that's, you know, that's a pretty sobering statistic for the, and then you have the Christians that try to fight against this teaching. It's just like, out of the 5% or so that have long hair, a percentage of these is Christians that try to fight and battle against this doctrine. It's like, this is the New Testament, folks. This is the New Testament. This isn't the Old Testament. This is the Apostle Paul saying to keep the ordinances, to follow me like I follow Christ. Christ doesn't have long hair. God the Father doesn't have long hair. I don't have long hair. You shouldn't have long hair either. And you know what, ladies? You should grow your hair out long. You know what? God wants to see a difference between men and women. And he wants his people that serve him as kings and priests on this earth to serve the way he wants them to look, not the way you want to look. And it is rebellion if you are a Christian and you have long hair as a man. And it's also rebellion as a Christian woman to want to chop your hair off because you just don't feel like dealing with it anymore because you've reached boomer age or whatever. I'm sorry, it's just true. This is what the Bible teaches, folks. And the good thing about this, though, is it's an easy fix if you've messed this up. And I like the way Pastor Anderson put it not too long ago. He preached a sermon about this, and he said, put me in a dark room with a pair of scissors, and I'm going to come out with short hair. I could do it blindfolded, you know, basically. And it's true. You got long hair, I mean, you're going to be able to just kind of feel your way through it and be like, you're going to come out looking like, you know, like with some kind of weird-looking haircut, but you can just put a bowl on top of your head just kind of help you. You might look funny, but at least you got a short haircut. But it's an easy fix, folks. Guys, just cut your hair, you know, and then you won't look like a fag anymore, because that's what you look like with long hair. And that's just the truth. You know, get mad all you want about it, but you look like a queer. You know, if it looks like a queer, talks like a queer, has the hair of a queer, I mean, it's probably a queer. I'm not saying that every guy with long hair is a queer. I'm just saying you look like a queer, though. And why would you want to look like a woman? I mean, in the book of Revelation, it talks about these scorpion things that come out. And one of the attributes is that it has the hair of a woman. Meaning what? It has long hair. A scorpion that can sting you. You wish you were dead, and then it has long hair on top of it. I mean, isn't that the scariest insect you've ever? I mean, my kids freak out over certain insects, but like my wife saw a spider in the shower the other day, and she was like, afraid to deal with that. Imagine having to deal with these scorpion things that come out. Anyway, so men, if you have a problem, you know, just cut your hair. It's pretty simple. How do you get right with God in this situation? If you're a Christian man, you were hearing this type of sermon for the first time, just go to the barber, get your hair cut. It's pretty cheap for men to get their hair cut. You can find a, you know, $9 place to get your hair cut. You used to be able to get like $5 haircuts at places. I mean, to get a high and tight, it's not expensive. Brother Sean, did your wife cut your hair? See, I mean, look, it looks great. And if you're starting to go bald, just go short, man. It's pretty easy. So, ladies, don't get the boomer butch cut when you turn 55 to look just like your husband. Just keep your hair long. I'm not saying you have to grow it down to your ankles or something. I mean, there are people that take it to extreme. And then some people just grow their hair really long to be like this. You know, it's kind of like the prairie dresses or whatever. They want people to ask them about it. Ask me about my weird outfit, my weird wizard outfit too. Like there's ladies that'll grow their hair all the way down and they will never cut it. And it's like, yeah, I'm not saying to do that. But long is long, right? So why does God care? Well, again, he just wants there to be a difference. So now I'm going to deal with but what about type things, type situations. So, but what about Samson? Well, Samson had long hair, and God allowed Samson to have long hair. Well, let's look at Judges chapter 13. So we're clear what the New Testament teaches, though. I mean, regardless of what the Old Testament says about these types of situations, the New Testament tells us, and that's what we need to go by, what the New Testament says, you know, there is no more Nazirite vow that we need to do. This is what Samson was, but Samson was an exception to the rule. He had a Nazirite vow from his birth. He was to not do any, he wasn't even to have anything to do with any kind of grape at all. Like, not just drinking alcoholic wine, but he wasn't allowed to have the seeds, eat grapes at all, or anything like that. He wasn't allowed to touch a dead body. He wasn't allowed to do a lot of different things. So, and he had to grow his hair long for his whole life. So he wasn't allowed to cut his hair. So look at verse 2 in Judges 13. It says, and there was a certain man named Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon him. On his head. For the child shall be a Nazirite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So again, this is a special proclamation, an angel. So Samson pictures Christ in a lot of different ways, but one thing is that an angel comes and tells them she's going to have a son, and they're special. He's going to be separate from other people in different ways. So he's going to be a special child and he has special rules set aside for him. He'll be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And look at Judges 16, verse 13. So, but Samson, of course, keeps none of the Nazarite vows. He keeps none of the rules that he's supposed to. He literally breaks like almost every rule that you can break in the vow, okay? But Judges 16, 13 says, and Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web. So apparently Samson's hairstyle was that he had seven locks of his head. So I don't know if he wove it and like kept it short or if he allowed it to grow long with seven locks. The Bible doesn't really say. But one thing's for sure, that he didn't cut his hair with a razor. And this just was a symbolic thing of the Nazarite vow. The Nazarite vow was a vow to separate themselves unto the Lord for a special purpose for a specified amount of time. Okay, now turn to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. Because, I mean, people will bring up the Samson thing, and people will also say, well, Jesus was a Nazarite, and that's why he had long hair. Well, let me explain to you something. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He was raised in a town in Galilee called Nazareth. Now, the Nazarite vow does not, you know, Jesus was the Jesus of Nazareth, the town, not Jesus the Nazarite. There's a difference. So he was not a Nazarite, he was from Nazareth. Amen. So, but people will use that because they're just confused. The words sound similar. Maybe God just threw that in as a stumbling block to people. I don't know why. But he wasn't a Nazarite, okay? He drank juice with his disciples at the Last Supper. So if he was a Nazarite, he wouldn't have been able to do that, right? Game over. All right. Numbers chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord. So what was the purpose of it? To separate themselves unto the Lord. This was a vow for a special purpose. It says, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine, or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes, or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of a vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. So they couldn't even have like anything woven from the vines or anything, no kernels even to the husk of the grape. All the days of the vow of his separation, there shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled in the which he separateth himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. So in the case of Samson, this was a lifelong thing that God had set him aside for a special purpose. Now, of course, Samson's days were cut short because he didn't keep his vow. You know, I mean, he didn't do what he was supposed to do, and so he only ruled as a judge for 20 years. He basically broke everything, and God took him home early. Well, he took himself home. He killed himself, but, you know, he didn't have eyes anymore, and, you know, he was probably like, what's the point? So, but it says, all the days that he separated himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. So Samson stuck his hand in, got the honey out of the lion's carcass. Well, he killed a lion. He killed multiple people. So, I mean, he probably touched a lot of dead bodies, didn't he? That's another thing he did wrong. So skip to verse 18. It says, the Nazarite shall shave his head of his separation at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. This is after, you know, of course, they fulfill that time. It says, and shall take the hair of the head of his separation and put it in the fire, which is under the sacrifice of the peace offering. So ultimately, if someone took a vow of the Nazarite, they only grew their hair long for a time period. And is it a shame for a man to have long hair? Yeah. And people would see people like that with long hair and they'd say, well, this guy has separated himself unto God. And once his vow's done, then they would know he's kept his vow and then he's shaved his head. So it was probably a picture to the people to know that they had a vow, they had a special separation. So maybe if they saw that person touch a dead body or they saw that person drinking wine, they knew that they weren't keeping their vow correct. Maybe the outward appearance of the long hair was something to let other people know that, hey, this person is supposed to be separating himself out of these things. That's kind of my theory about it. So, you know, Samson, again, a special case. And so let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 14. Now, here's a case where, you know, David, this great ruler, he has some sons that don't turn out very well. And a lot of it, David brings on himself. He wasn't exactly the greatest dad in the world. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you can be the best dad you can, and people are just, everybody has free will, and they can choose whatever they want to do. But, you know, obviously God said that there would be, you know, there wouldn't be peace in his home because of what he did with Bathsheba. So look at 2 Samuel 14:24. It says, and this is when Absalom has come back after being banished, after killing his brother. It says, and the king said, let him turn to his own house and let him not see my face. So Absalom returned to his own house and saw not the king's face. It says, but in all Israel there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. So this is some really strikingly handsome man. No blemish. He didn't have any moles, any, you know, sunspots or anything. The guy was just, a specimen, apparently. An alpha or whatever. But you know, I don't want people to say that I'm a beauty, okay? But it says, from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there is no blemish. And he pulled his head. And when he pulled his head, that means he cut his hair. So he did cut his hair. It says, for it was at every year's end that he pulled it. What would happen to your hair if you only cut your hair one time a year? It'd get pretty long, wouldn't it? It says, because the hair was heavy on him, therefore he pulled it. So he didn't pull it because, he didn't cut his hair because it was too long. He cut his hair because it was too heavy on his gentle little head or whatever. He weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels after the king's weight. So apparently he had just this thick Fabio looking hair or something. Who knows who Fabio is? Okay, most people, the Gen Z, Fabio was this famous guy on these commercials that said, I can't believe it's not butter. He was on romance novel covers back in, the 80s and 90s or whatever. And he had long hair, okay? So he was this ripped dude with long hair. Anyway, so he only cut it because it was too heavy for him. So Absalom was a long hair in a time, in a world where that wasn't a thing. But what does this tell you about Absalom? I mean, what was the end of Absalom? Absalom did some of the most horrific things that a son could ever do to his own dad. It showed his rebellion. It showed what kind of person he really was. And when someone just knows, hey, I know I'm not supposed to have long hair, and it's one of the most outwardly shameful things, it shames and dishonors my Savior. It shames and dishonors God. But I'm just going to do it anyway as a Christian, then you're spitting in God's face. You're not right with God. And Absalom was surely not right with God. Let's go over to 2 Samuel chapter 18. 2 Samuel chapter 18. Now this is after Absalom had won the hearts of the people and stole the hearts away of Israel, and David's on the run, but God is looking out for him. He's not going to allow David to just be destroyed. And so there's this great battle that happens in the woods, and Absalom, it says in verse 9, and Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak and was taken up between heaven and earth. So what happened to Absalom? Well, the very thing that he prided himself on so much and actually took the time to weigh how much his hair weighed every single year that he cut it is the very thing that took him out in the end. Because his beautiful, heavy, long hair got caught into a branch of a tree. And then it says, and the mule that was under him went away. So Picture this. Absalom is hanging from a tree by his pretty little long hair. He's hanging from a tree, just between heaven and earth. And then he's just like a sitting duck for Joab to come and throw a dart through his what does he kill? I think he just throws a dart through his heart or whatever. So in the end, his pride, you know, and Absalom was filled with pride. Absalom was a wicked person. And in the end, what his the Bible just kind of goes through this for us to tell us just how proud. I mean, he weighed his hair. What a freak. That's just bizarre. He didn't give it to locks of love. You know, he didn't have a Nazirite vow. He took his hair and was like, let me see how much it weighs this year. It's 200 shekels. It's bizarre. And then the very thing that he's so proud of undoes him in the end. You know, and David said, don't harm the young man Absalom or whatever. And Joab did it anyway because he had to die. David's judgment was wrong there, in my opinion. But of course, he doesn't want to have his own son killed. I get that. But Joab had to do it. How could you leave him alive? I mean, there's just no way. They didn't have a prison system back then. So it had to be done. But anyway, having long hair is just a picture of pride. It shows your pride. And, you know, people say, well, how long is long? Well, God doesn't really give a length in the Bible how long is. But I'll tell you, if you wait for a year to get your hair cut and you only get your hair cut once a year, it's too long. And he probably just cut enough off to where he knew it was going to weigh that 200 shekel. He probably had it like on a cycle or whatever. Oh, 200 shekels again, Absalom. You're so beautiful, you know. So what a weirdo. How short is too short? God doesn't say. But you know what short is and you know what long is. I mean, if your hair starts to cover over the top of your ears, it's too long, guys. I mean, but again, there's no length. But you know what's long and what's not. So, in reality, it's a real easy ordinance to keep. It is. It's easy. This is a softball commandment that God gives you. It's like you're up to bat. You can bat 1,000 with this one. It's pretty easy. And for ladies, it's super easy. Just you don't have to do anything. Just grow your hair long, and then get it pulled once a year. Don't weigh it. That's weird. But you know, get it trimmed. Of course, you want it to be healthy and beautiful and all that stuff. Take a little bit of length off. You don't want to be a freak and have it like training behind you and have people have to hold your hair while you're walking or something. But you know, it's a pretty simple one. But for men, you got to get your hair cut, what, every 4 to 6 weeks or something? Then it starts or starts looking pretty shaggy. And but it's pretty easy. It's easier than tithing to keep, because tithing, people are really tied to their money pretty hard sometimes. They're like, I don't know if I can afford this. You know, they get all worried. I can't afford a haircut. I mean, I guess that's legit too. Well, then learn to cut your hair yourself, or teach your wife, if you have a wife, to cut your hair. But I've never had a problem getting my hair cut. I've had a problem the time getting my hair cut, but I've just learned if I really need to, I'll just cut my own hair. It might not look good, but I just do it anyway, right? So it's in the New Testament, it's clear. Get your hair cut, men. Ladies, grow your hair long. It's easy to keep. It's an ordinance. And an ordinance is a it is a commandment. It's a commandment in the New Testament to do it. I know nobody in here really has a major problem with this, but maybe your kids might. You know, maybe your kids will grow up and go, I think my parents are wrong about this. Well, you know what the Word of God says now, so you're responsible, kids. Don't just throw out what the Bible says. If you're saved and you're just rebelling, you know, don't rebel by growing your hair long and making your parents look like fools. Because, you know, maybe you don't agree with everything, and later on you move out and you're like, well, I don't know if I agree with all this stuff. Don't make your parents look like fools. I mean, don't just openly rebel against your parents and do these types of things. It is wicked. The Bible does say, you know, you don't have to listen and obey your parents after you moved out of their home. But you still have to honor your parents after you leave their home. And honoring them is not making them look like fools. Honoring them is not going around trashing them anytime you get a chance to other people. That's not honoring them. So if you can't honor them, don't say anything bad about them either. Just keep your mouth shut. You know, they paid your way for many years. At least appreciate that. They tried to bring you to a good church. They've tried to teach you in the ways of the Lord to the best of their ability. You should appreciate the things that your parents do for you and not be a rebellious punk like Absalom was. What was it yesterday that Ethan got his haircut? Was it 2 days ago? And Ms. Sheila shared the pictures in one of our groups. I don't want to embarrass him or anything, but I was like, amen. I've been wanting to just grab a hold of him and just take the scissors to him for a while. But I'm glad he got his haircut. You know, amen. Praise God. 16 years old, he's like, okay, I'm going to get right. Gets his haircut. Praise God. Did he weigh it? Okay, good. All right. Well, that's all I got. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this clear teaching in the scriptures. Pray, Lord, that you'd help us to Lord, keep things in perspective. Help us to obey what the Bible says and the ordinances and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in all of our doings as much as we possibly have in us. I pray that you just bless our church, bless the soul winning to follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. 15 grams in the shekel of Tyre. That's 3,000 grams for 200 shekels. That's 3 kilograms, 6.5 pounds of hair. All right. All right, last hymn is 385, How Firm a Foundation. Sorry, I had to. On the first.
How firm a foundation. Ye saints, oh, the Lord is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you for refuge to Jesus of heaven.
His foes, that's all, though all hell.
though never foresee.
Amen. Brother Alex Kay, can you close us with a word of prayer?